Welcome to the Pictures of Lily podcast. I'm your host, Lily Moayeri. I have been a music journalist since 1992, and I interview a lot of music-related people. This podcast, which is named after the song by The Who, is about my experience behind the story, what my experience is doing the interviews, just to give you a snapshot of what it's like on the other side of the digital recorder. Pictures of Lily. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the Pictures of Lily podcast. This is episode 59. We moved our episodes to monthly on the second Wednesday of each month starting in 2022, and I have to admit, I miss having an episode every other week. You can find us on every platform by going to picturesoflily.com, where you can subscribe or follow us, and also connect to us on Instagram, SoundCloud, YouTube, Pandora, and Amazon. Although it's really best to listen to the podcast straight from the source at picturesoflily.com, as it is the highest quality audio and avoids copyright restrictions.
Express yourself, do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, and at the time when you want to do it.
This episode is on my experiences with the multi-talented Michelle Gale. Here are a few snapshots of my experiences with Michelle Gale since before I met her some 24 years ago. For our non-UK listeners, Michelle may not be as familiar of a name, but for those based in the British Isles, you know who I'm talking about. Michelle has been on television over there from when she was about 9 years old. I first saw her on EastEnders, the long-running nighttime soap opera that has been a staple on the UK airwaves since 1985. EastEnders used to air here in the US on PBS for a good 16 years until BBC America stopped the broadcast in the early 2000s. But not before I got to see Michelle playing one of the key characters, Hattie, who was on the series from 1990 to 1993. I was temping at a post-production company, probably in the mid-90s, and Michelle came in. I was totally starstruck, which was so ridiculous because so many Hollywood stars came through there who I couldn't care less about. But Michelle, who no one knew, had me completely giddy. I distinctly remember she had two braids and she looked so ridiculously pretty. I didn't say anything to her, but I told everyone around me about EastEnders. I think at this time my sister Layla must have been alive, and I told her about Michelle coming through as Layla and I watched EastEnders together religiously. I didn't see Michelle again until 1998 when I met her properly through some UK friends of mine who were in Los Angeles. At this point, Michelle was recording or mixing her third album. I should preface this by saying that after EastEnders, Michelle went on to be a pop star in the UK with a string of top 40 hits. She released two albums, which did very well, which is why she was here in Los Angeles working on the next one. Coincidentally, she was working with Harvey Mason Jr., who is now the president of the Recording Academy. I moderated a panel with Harvey last year and I brought her up to him and he said, "Great lady," and asked how I had met her, and I said it was when she was recording with him. I think Mish asked me for my number as she was going to be in town for a while and would have time to hang out. Or maybe I gave her my number in case she needed anything. Either way, she called me and we did a bunch of hanging out, which was super fun. Mish is very down to earth and super grounded. She's been a recognizable celebrity since she was a child, but she has such a solid hold of herself and the world around her that you can drop her into any situation, anywhere, and she'll be herself and she'll be fine. And she'll make everyone around her feel good as well. In 1999, I was in the UK right before the Winter Music Conference, which takes place in Miami. Mish went around with me to a bunch of meetups and meals and things I was having with various friends and music colleagues. All of us were talking about winter music and she got caught up in it, even though it had nothing to do with her. When I was leaving, I called her from the airport to say one last goodbye and she told me she had just bought a ticket to come to Miami. This was super exciting news for me as she's really fun and it was going to be very nice to have her company at all the parties and events. Mish brought all of her ease and her positive energy to what would have otherwise been a pretty miserable conference for me as I was dealing with some nonsense from some other people. She also brought one of her EastEnders co-stars with her, Sid Owen, who played Ricky Butcher and was on the series for about 25 years. It was fascinating to see the many English people in Miami during that time reacting to seeing these two. There were people shouting from cars and coming up to them in restaurants and clubs. Sid was on his way to Coral Gables for golfing, I think, so he left. But even without him there, the attention was no less on Mish. It was surreal because Winter Music is a dance music conference and the superstars are the DJs, the producers, and even the record company people. But not soap opera stars turned pop stars. Yet, I really feel like Mish ruled the conference that year. I would have tried to get on guest lists and stuff for clubs and parties, but once we showed up, we were pulled to the front and inside. It was pretty cool, but I was concerned about Mish having to deal with a lot of drugged out, nutty people's attention. I didn't have to worry. As I mentioned earlier, she can more than handle herself in any situation. I remember my friends asking me, "What's this I hear about you hanging out with Michelle Gale?" And I would tell them our origin story. Then they would respond, "Leave it to you to become best friends with an English soap star." One of the things I discovered about Mish in Miami was that she effortlessly gets ready in no time flat. The whole time she's prepping herself, it looks like she's floating around the room, picking up things randomly, and then all of a sudden she's ready and she looks 100. Another thing I discovered about her is that she is also an effortless expert chef. I was at her house during dinner time and she made three completely different meals to cater to three different diets all at the same time. I can say from my dish that it was absolutely delicious and I'm sure the others were as well. Mish and I have spent a lot of time driving around London over the years and she would be making her business calls. I learned a lot from being in the car and hearing how she spoke to different people. I learned a lot from being around her and her son Isaiah at any age. She has the same effortlessness with him that she had with everything else. I'm sure it wasn't effortless, but she put a practical lens on raising a child for me. I remember being on Portobello Road with her and Isaiah when he was in the stroller. She popped into a store and Isaiah was outside with me. He started crying. I picked him up. She came out and promptly put him back in the stroller and actually talked to him in a very matter-of-fact kind of voice about not carrying him around, even though he didn't speak yet. It was very effective. Before Isaiah was born, Michelle played Belle in Beauty and the Beast in the West End. I went over to London to see her in it, and I took my best friend Sally's daughter Cinnamon, who was quite young then. Cinnamon was very dressed up and had done her hair up in a French twist all by herself, and when I took her backstage to meet Mish, Mish knew all the right things to say to Cinnamon, commenting on her outfit and her hair, and she asked if Cinnamon had done her hair herself. It was all done in such a friendly, we already know each other tone. It was so relaxed and winning and wonderful. Later on, it was revealed that for half the time that Mish was playing Belle, she was pregnant with Isaiah. To be doing 8 shows a week during your first trimester is a real feat, and Mish did it seemingly effortlessly. In 2019, we went over to London to see her play Hermione in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. That is a 7-hour play, and Michelle was just as amazing in it as anything I've seen her in. If you haven't seen it, in Cursed Child, there is something like a multiverse, but it's more like different ways things might have played out if one particularly pivotal thing had or hadn't happened. So Hermione has a lot of different personalities in each of these scenarios. And Mish slipped into and out of those personalities with genuine ease. We hung out with her after the show, and Lawrence got to see her very defined, very direct personality, and I think he really loved it. This entire episode was his idea. And I hear him singing one of Mish's hits, Sweetness, around the house. Whenever she's in LA, which is not often, Mish always makes time for me, and when I'm in the UK, she makes sure we see each other. In fact, one time, I was in London while she was on a family vacation. They were coming back the night before I was leaving. They got home very late, around 11 p.m. or something, and she had me come over so we could see each other and so I could meet her new baby, Luke. Sometimes I think I take her friendship for granted because she is such a firm friend, and I know that she is always solid and always reliable and always will be there. Mish's realness is her calling card. In the early days of our friendship, she ended up on a variety of reality shows where she was actually real, and that made her a favorite among viewers. She is also a regular on morning shows and other programs in the UK where she is herself and everyone gets a real dose of her, and she is extremely likable and she makes you feel like you're friends with her. I've seen how complete strangers come up and talk to her and I think they know each other, When they're gone, I ask her who was that, and she'll say, oh, I don't know, but this was the connection they said they had with me. Personally, I think she should be a host, but that would be a waste of her acting talents and creatively unfulfilling. Mish has done a ton of acting, including being a featured star in the UK series Wolfblood and Almost Never. She has also written scripts for a few episodes of shows. Mish has a degree in English and has had 3 novels published. The one I read is, or was, called Pride and Premiership. It's a new adult novel about women whose goal is to become wives and or girlfriends of athletes, something Mish has firsthand knowledge of. It's a really fun book, but also empowering and not at all a disposable chick lit, although it is packaged like one. It became a trilogy that was repackaged and renamed. I've linked them in this podcast. After the racial uprisings of 2020, Mish wrote and spoke very eloquently about her own experiences with racism, which she hadn't even shared with me before. Her Grazia article is linked on her Instagram, and it's illuminating and heartbreaking. She also has gone on a ton of podcasts. You can find them in any of the aggregator podcast platforms by doing a search for her name. I recommend the British Blacklist or TBB podcast. While she is talking about her pretty offensive racist experiences, Mish is doing so with a matter-of-fact tone that is meant to inform more than anything else in order to make change moving forward. To that end, she is also the co-founder and chair of the board of the nonprofit organization The World Reimagined. To quote from their website, this is what The World Reimagined's mission is: a groundbreaking national art education project to transform how we understand the transatlantic trade in enslaved Africans and its impact on all of us. They're doing some very interesting and wide-reaching work there that's worth checking out and speaking about and getting involved with. Mish has the organization site linked on her socials, and I'll have it linked in this podcast. That is a snapshot of my friendship with Michelle Gale. I've never interviewed Mish, so I don't have any of my interviews to direct you to, but I can direct you to her self-penned article for Grazia, podcast where she's being interviewed, her books, and her organization, all of which are linked in this episode. To you, so glad I found someone who won't lie to me. You came around and you showed me what love means. Came to another place, came to another place.
Everything's ready here on the dark side of the moon. Play the 5 tones.
In our next episode, I'm going to be talking about my friendship and experiences with the DIY Collective in honor of the book Dreaming in Yellow, penned by one of the members of DIY, Harry Harrison, which has been a long time coming. From myself and my co-producer, director, editor, Lauren Schroeder, thanks for listening. And if you have a chance to subscribe or follow the podcast on any of the podcast platforms, please do so and please rate and review. You can connect to us on picturesoflily.com, and from there you can choose your preferred podcast platform or Instagram or SoundCloud or YouTube or Pandora or Amazon. You can also find the playlist for the podcast episodes on Spotify and YouTube. There's also a Pictures of Lily newsletter, which goes out when each podcast episode posts, with a bonus newsletter in between that you can subscribe to on picturesoflily.com. And don't forget to check out Lawrence's curated playlists on Spotify every Friday. Just search for his artist name, Regal Standard. Thanks for listening. Pictures of Lily.